In our last lesson, the precious gifts from God, we noticed that a certain knowledge is the source of a wonderful blessing. We noticed in 2 Peter 1 in verse 2 that Peter states there, grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He stated in verse 3 there that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. We also noted how Peter closes this epistle with this admonition. From chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, this raises several questions. What does it mean to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How can we be sure that we are growing in this knowledge? And why is Peter so concerned that we grow in this knowledge? I trust that you'll take out your Bibles and read 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11, because there we will find the answers to these questions. And I'm not going to take the time to read them, but we will notice them as we go through this lesson. So first of all, let's consider what growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ involves. First, it involves the development of eight graces. That's what Peter lists there in verses 5 through 7. And these graces are briefly defined as faith. And faith is conviction, a strong assurance. Virtue, another grace, is defined as moral excellence, goodness. Knowledge, another grace, is defined as correct insight. Self-control is defined as self-discipline. Perseverance is defined as bearing up under trials. Godliness defined as godly character out of devotion to God. Brotherly kindness is love toward brethren. And love is an active goodwill toward those in need. Now let's notice what Peter says in verse 8. He says, after listing these eight graces, that we must abound in these graces. And only then can it be said that we are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, it's something more than simply increasing our intellectual knowledge about Jesus Christ. And though that knowledge has a place, it's just one of the graces that are necessary. Peter is talking about growing in a full and personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, which becomes like the developing, it comes by developing the Christ-like attributes that are defined above. The more we grow in these graces, the more we really know Jesus, because He is the perfect personification of these eight graces. And that involves more than just intellectual knowledge, more than just reading the Bible. It is also evident from the Greek word that's used for knowledge in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 8. If I can pronounce this, the Greek word is epignosis, meaning to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well, and that comes from Thayer. This type of knowledge comes only when we demonstrate these Christ-like graces in our lives. Secondly, it involves developing these graces in conjunction with each other. Notice the word add or supply, depending on the translation you read, in chapter 1 and verse 5. Before each grace is mentioned, the word is implied, add or supply. The word in Greek means originally to found and support a chorus, to lead a choir, to keep in tune, then to supply or provide. This word then suggests the idea of each grace working in harmony with the others to produce an overall effect. Notice also the word to or in verses 5 through 7. This suggests that each grace is to temper and make perfect the grace that goes before it. So, to illustrate this, Peter says, to knowledge add self-control. The grace of self-control enables one to apply properly the knowledge that one already has. Then he says, to self-control add perseverance. Self-control, in turn, needs the quality of perseverance to be consistent day after day after day. And so, each grace is then necessary. But they all must be developed in conjunction with each other. You cannot take one and not take the rest. We cannot be selective and just pick the ones that we like and leave the others off. Thirdly, it involves a diligent effort. We have to put some work into this. We notice the word diligence in verses 5 and 10. It means earnestness, zeal, sometimes with haste. So to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires a lot of effort. We don't accidentally or naturally develop these graces. And if we're not careful, we may be like the teacher in this illustration. In his book, Folk Psalms of Faith, Ray Steadman tells a story of a woman who had been a school teacher for 25 years. When she heard about a job that would mean a promotion, she applied for the position. But someone who had been teaching for only 1 year was hired instead of her. She went to the principal. She asked him why. The principal responded, "I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years of experience as you claim. You've only had 1 year of experience 25 times. During that whole time, the teacher had not improved. We need to improve. We may have been Christians for a great number of years, but unless we grow and continue to grow, we are simply repeating the first year over and over again. Is the effort worth it? Well, Peter tells us in this context, he gives us three reasons why we should give all diligence to grow in this knowledge of Jesus Christ. He tells us, first of all, that a failure to grow in this knowledge results in spiritual myopia or amnesia, verse 9. Our religion, he says, is short-sighted if we're not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because what is the ultimate objective of being a Christian? To become like Christ, Romans 8, verse 29, Colossians 3, verses 9 through 11. And as we've seen, this is what it really means to grow in the knowledge of Christ. A failure to grow is an indication that we forgot why we were redeemed by the blood of Christ in the first place. To have our sins forgiven, yes. But then we might present ourselves to God and become what He wants us to be, like His Son. Two, we will never stumble. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, Peter says that if we add these graces, that we'll not stumble. It doesn't mean that we'll never sin. 1 John 1 verses 8 and 10. The word stumble in Greek means to fall into misery, to become wretched, the loss of salvation, according to Thayer. And we will never stumble so as to fall short of our ultimate salvation. But this is true only if we are giving all diligence to grow in the knowledge of Christ and thereby making our calling and election sure. Thirdly, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom will be abundantly supplied, Peter says in verse 11. This everlasting kingdom is likely the kingdom of heaven, referred to by Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. In other words, the ultimate destiny of the redeemed. What is meant by the idea of an abundant entrance? Well, you may be able to enter not as having escaped from a shipwreck or fire, or from a fire, but as it were in triumph, Bingle says in his commentary. By possessing the eight graces, we will be able to live a victorious life in this lifetime. and to joyously anticipate what lies ahead. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. So these three reasons ought to be enough to motivate us to be diligent in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It ought to be enough to motivate us to give all diligence in making our calling and election sure by making every effort to add these graces to our lives. Remember, we can't pick and choose which ones we want or which ones we think would be our strong suit. We must apply them all. You see, serving Christ, following Christ, and serving God is not like going to a buffet where you can pick the things off the buffet that you like. It's kind of like when we were growing up and our parents would put food on the table, and you might have heard something to the effect of, it's either take it or leave it. You either serve God and follow His will, or you don't. You cannot pick and choose the things that you want to serve God by. And it's got to be His way. Have we forgotten that we were purged from our old sins? We have, if we are apathetic or don't care, or have in our desire to grow in these graces. There are a lot of people in the world that tell me it doesn't matter how you serve God, because after all, we're all trying to get to the same place. Well, we may all be trying to get to the same place, but it matters how you serve God. You have to follow God, have to follow His plan, or we're lost. And the attitude of society is that it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I want to do. If you have grown apathetic in your desire to grow in these graces, I pray that you'll repent and ask for forgiveness. And the ultimate question is, are you growing in this knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord? Don't take what I say. Don't take what some pastor tells you or some reverend tells you. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but don't take what your mom and daddy tell you or your grandparents. Take what God's Word tells you, and God's Word alone. It may be that you disagree with this lesson. It may be that you find yourself in agreement with this lesson and you'd like to discuss more. Either way, I would be happy to sit down and discuss with you. We can meet at your convenience, or you could email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, and I will respond to you. You can email me at churchofchrist.com. You can message me on Facebook. You can ask me anything you want. But if, like I said in the past, if you disagree with me, give me book, chapter, and verse to why you think you're right and why you think I may be wrong. If you'd like to join us at the Eastside Church of Christ, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible class, followed by worship at 10 a.m., and then again this evening at 5 p.m., and we will meet on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for another midweek Bible study. If you'd like to listen to this again, you can go to the church's website, that's churchateastside.com, and my email address again is djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Thank you again for being with me.